Here's one for Adams downfield, and a catch, touchdown. Rodgers going to air it out. There he is, Valdes-Scantling for the touchdown. Right on cue. He's got his second of the year, 52-yard. Pass is caught back in the end zone, second of the night for Valdes-Scantling.
It was that easy for the Green Bay Packers on Thursday night. Joe Buck of Fox with the call. Final score, Packers 34, San Francisco 49ers 17. In a game that was never competitive. Dan Hansis here along with the Quiet Storm, Mark Sessler. Aaron Rodgers, Mark, 25 of 31, 305 yards, 4 touchdowns. Devontae Adams dominant again, 10 for 173 and a touch. If you would have asked me, not looking at the box score, I would have said 27 catches for 7,000 yards and a touchdown for Devontae Adams, but those were his actual numbers. This was a bloodbath against a completely overmatched and, more importantly, undermanned 49ers team.
Well, I think the big takeaway is, even though this was a Niners team missing key elements all over the place for various reasons, the Devontae Adams-Aaron Rodgers chemistry is probably the greatest quarterback-wide receiver chemistry occurring in the league right now, and that's something they can hang their hat on every week. Now, I don't want to rain on that parade, but someone named Richie James has finished the game with 184 yards off 9 receptions and a touchdown on the San Francisco side. That, I think, is more game script and more bizarro action. But Devontae Adams is right up there with DK Metcalf as the, you know, in the conversation for greatest wide receiver in the league right now. He is invaluable.
I like that you built in your Richie James caveat there to your Devontae Adams point. Yes, Richie James was the only offensive player of note for the 49ers because it almost was like the Niners were coasting to the point where on a couple plays they just ceased to pay attention, and then Richie James would be open with no one around him for 15 yards. He had a couple chunk play gains. But that, I mean, you take that out, and that saved Mullen's day offensively. Those couple of huge plays to Richie James, he wasn't able to do much. He threw a terrible interception that set up a Packers score. So the Niners, from their perspective, it's just tough because we all respect Kyle Shanahan. We all thought that this was a team that had a chance to get back into the mix of the NFC playoffs when they were 4-3 and they were coming off two really good wins against the Rams and Patriots, and then they go to Seattle and they lose Garoppolo and they lose Kittle and they lose that game, and then they go and get blown out at home, and it's basically over. I'll go this far, Mark. They are now 4-5 coming up next at Saints, at Rams, home Bills. Is it time to stick a fork in the San Francisco 49ers for 2020?
Stick a fork in them.
I see them as one of the most resourceful teams out there for reasons that anyone listening to our show is...
Not tonight, though.
No, heard a thousand times. Tonight, yeah. I think, it's like we talked about, it's just too much. And I'd go right here. When your offensive line... These teams, when the offensive lines get reduced down to nothing, Justin School in for Trent Williams. Justin Schooled is what his name should be. 3 sacks allowed. I don't mean that. It's like he just shouldn't have been in the game. And really, the game was over when he had a missed assignment that led to a Raven Green interception of Nick Mullins. It put the Packers up 14-3 on the ensuing drive, and you knew the game was over. And it's like, my thing is this: the game should not have been played, and we don't need to go down that road too far. We all get it. I feel like other teams were treated a little bit differently in this Thursday night spot in primetime spots, and I think that the NFL is in a sticky situation, and they have to forge on. But the Niners have been left by the side of the road this week, and to stick a fork in them, I think it's fair, because you look at the schedule, it's not just the Corona thing, it's the injury, the battery that they've taken. I mean, they're like, the Eagles get mentioned as the most injury-ravaged teams. The Niners are right there. They're right there. And your resourcefulness as Kyle Shanahan only goes so far, and we saw it tonight. We've seen it with Belichick and the Patriots, and we're seeing it out west with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think the Niners, it's just not their year. sometimes the football gods conspire and say it's not going to happen for you. And that's what it makes it all the more frustrating. And I mentioned it on the show earlier this week when Jimmy G misses Emmanuel Sanders with a chance to take the lead in the Super Bowl in the final 2 minutes. When you don't hit that throw and then you give up the lead and eventually lose the game, sometimes there could be a temptation to be an optimist and say, well, this is a great team. It's a young team. It's got one of the best young coaches in the league. We'll be back. You never know if you're going to be back. And I say that fully aware that they could be at this time next year, 7-2 and be right back in the mix. But all you could say, or you could be the Falcons. So that, I mean, that's where we're, that's what you're talking about. So when you do get to that big stage, you got to take advantage of it. They couldn't, and now they're having one of those years. As for the coronavirus situation, I agree. It does feel like there is a bit of a, you know, moving of the goalposts, but also the coronavirus itself, the goalposts move and how it dictates what's going on in our society right now. And the NFL is just, you know, clawing to stay one step ahead of it. We're dancing through the raindrops with this. And, you know, if you try to reschedule the game, does that necessarily mean it gets in? If you have a chance to play the game, which they did, do you do it? Well, the 49ers fans out there might think we shouldn't have done it because we played a game today where not a single skill player on the roster for the NFC title game last year touched the ball in this game. No one was active. So the 49ers, whether it's COVID or just straight up injuries, just buried in 2020. And that's why I think you just stick a fork in them and say better luck next year and we'll find out who your quarterback is.
Right, absolutely. And you're so right about the get back to the Super Bowl window, because it's one thing to say, hey, we're the Patriots. We have Tom Brady. We got nipped by a team, and you will be back. But Jimmy Garoppolo is not that quarterback. I'm not sure Jimmy Garoppolo plays another snap for this team. You look at their schedule, it's really rough. And I don't know. It's a weird season. And this game gave me two other little points that I've talked to you about this before, the fourth quarter 10-minute runoff. Where you just say, look, the people watching this game aren't having a lot of fun. The players aren't having a lot of fun. If it's really rough, you know, 5 minutes into the fourth quarter, 10-minute runoff, game over. And now what now? You get the players that say, hey, I'm Richie James. What about my incentives, my stats? We will prorate the stats for your agents. They won't be real-life stats. Well, I'm saying they won't be real-life stats, but we prorate them so that for your contract tabulations, they would count. My second point would be, I do think that Troy Aikman at some point, a while ago realized that his Our League thing that you've, he leaned into that so hard this evening that I have to feel like he's slightly punking all of us, because he must know that it's a thing that's been touched on. He will not let it go. And I felt like as this game was dying into its, you know, dipping into its corpse mode, into the grave, he mentioned it like 14 times over the last like 18 minutes of this. It's like, I get that it's our league. The game I was watching is not from the league that I want to be a part of.
Well, here's my goal with this. I'll continue to cite Troy Aikman every time I say our league, whether it's on our podcast or on the network, because we've seen Troy can't stop referencing Good Morning Football. During Thursday night games. If there's a GMFB promo, he'd be like, oh, not Peter Schrager. He sure knows his ball. He's like, oh, Kyle and Kay and Nate, they sure do have a lot of fun on that show. And I watch it every morning on the treadmill. We need to get that shout out on Thursday nights. And if we start to build a connection, even if it's not an actual one-on-one dynamic, if it's just something where it's on his radar that we like that, maybe we get the shout out. Maybe we get the Paul Rudd shout out.
I love that. And, you know, that's why I mentioned, I mentioned Troy Aikman because even though I was not a Cowboys fan growing up, he is someone that is rooted in my love of football from that time period. And it would mean a lot. That's why I asked Colleen Wolf, had she ever seen him with her human eyes? Had she encountered him? Had she spoken to him? It would mean a lot if she could mention to him that I know of him, and perhaps he knows of us. So I'm so with you. I feel like
getting a little weird, Mark.
Well, no, but I would say that the executives in our building at one point took a left turn when they should have stayed on the highway being our show, and they took a left turn towards Good Morning Football, and now everyone's mentioning that show. It's a very nice show. I respect it. I love them all. They're great. You're on it sometimes, which is a nice thing. But we got
Every Wednesday morning.
We got left by the side of the road, and we have a lot of work to do to get back onto that, into the place where Troy Aikman even knows that we exist. He says he doesn't listen to podcasts. That's also not helpful.
Final takeaways from the Packers. They are the first team, this from the Fox telecast, they are the first team since 2007, the Patriots, you might have heard of them, they went 16-0, to score on their opening drive in their first eight games of the season. That is so difficult to do, and those are scripted plays. So you're building that out all week, thinking it's going to work against your opponent. But for it to work every week and put points on the board and in many cases touchdowns, that really tells you how in sync Aaron Rodgers is with the bearded boy, Matt LaFleur, and the rest of the offense. And my other thought is my Aaron Rodgers sandwich prop looking better and better, Mark. He is just so comfortable in this offense. And you could see that relationship, as you said, with Davante Adams, it's unbelievable. And now you're going to eventually add Alan Lazard back, who is shaping up as a breakout number two guy. I still think they should have gotten Will Fuller, because you might have to outscore your problems on defense. But they're still going to be able to put up points most weeks, because that is a special connection.
Yeah, and I don't know if I take the MVS two-touchdown breakout that seriously tonight. He's had issues. But this offense, I take their 6-2 record seriously. My thing last year was that their 13-3 mark felt a tad inflated to me. That could have just been me. I mean, they went into the playoffs and got ran over by this Niners team. That they didn't face the same squad tonight. This Packers team is in sync. I think they're really well-coached. They're resilient. They might have get dinged up here and there. But I trust them as a playoff team that could win a game or two and maybe go to the Super Bowl. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is playing lights out. We didn't expect that. So this is a team to feel threatened by if you're another team in the NFC, to be scared of. And the future is unknown.
Hey, let's bring in Ricky Hollywood before we say goodbye. There she is. Hey, what's up? A lot of stuff going on in our country right now. So as we're taping this, it appears that Joe Biden is closing in on the 270 electoral votes that would clinch the presidency. You have Donald Trump, who is all sorts of fired up as well. Some of his cohorts that this whole thing is rigged. There's demonstrations everywhere. This is crazy times in our country. The game was terrible. The Packers basically ended the game by halftime. So I ask, do you think anyone's listening to this right now?
No.
Should we come up with like a code word? If anyone's made it this far, that maybe they could tweet at the three of us.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And we could know like how many people actually made it to the end of this recap. What do we got? Anybody got a word?
How about your shirt, Godzilla?
Yeah, hashtag Godzilla.
Bingo.
At the three of us, if you made it to the end of this recap.
What is the over-under on how many hashtag tweets we get?
For Godzilla, over under 10.
Yeah, that feels good.
Yeah.
I hope it's going to be higher than that. Ricky, you'll be in charge of counting them.
How about that? I will.
The producer.
Count those votes.
It'll be pretty easy.
All right, good stuff. Good to see you guys. Let's get back to tracking this other thing that's happening. But yes, the Packers prevail. Final score 34-17. They're 6-2. The Niners drop to 4-5, and you'll hear from us again with Greg Rosenthal Sunday night for the flagship show. Until then, good evening.